In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. For all of our friends of Italian ancestry out there, happy little Christmas. On this Epiphany, this will give you five quick things. The three kings found their objective. Why? It's because they were looking for it. They were actively looking for it. They were attentive to the signs around them. They had been studying. They had been waiting. They were looking. Our first lesson is to be aware of the signs around us. God is always trying to reach us, but often we cannot find him. Why? It's because we choose not to look. We choose not to see, not to listen. A second lesson is that when they saw the sign that they had been attentively waiting for, what happened? They moved. They got up, right? They acted, even though it was not easy. Now, you and I take travel for granted. Today, we can jump in a car, and even in pandemic times, we can at least theoretically hop on a plane and be where we want to go in a few hours. We travel distances that would have taken days, weeks, and even months to travel in the time of Jesus. Now, for Christmas, for instance, I traveled almost 200 miles in one day to see my family and come back home, all that in the same day, and I accomplished it in about 4 hours. In the ancient world, a journey of even 100 miles would be a major undertaking and dangerous. At best, people in Jesus' time could travel about 20 miles a day over bad roads, usually sleeping outdoors. There was no Motel 6 or Hampton Inn, right? They had to contend with the threat of thieves and wild animals and bad weather. We still have the bad weather, but we don't really have to worry about wild animals attacking us in our cars. And there were no McDonald's for the children and no convenient bathrooms. Let that last one sink in just for a little bit. So for the three kings, it was difficult, but worth it. Even if acting on the impulse from God in your life seems difficult, have the courage and the faith to do it. Courage is, after all, a gift of the Holy Spirit. It will be worth it. Another lesson actually comes from King Herod. When you and I begin living a life of real faith, when we begin putting Jesus Christ at the center of our words, of our actions, of our lives, we should expect opposition along the way. It sounds very strange to us, right, that a life dedicated to love should produce anger in many people. But that's just evidence of original sin. It does. Jesus said, "What they have done to me, they will do to you." The more clearly you walk in the way of God's love, the more opposition you will likely find. If we choose to stay in darkness and sin, we won't find much opposition, if any, from the world around us. You will not be opposed or challenged when your life doesn't stand for anything important or different. But you, people of God, stand for something. When we seek the light and walk the path of God, expect to find tests and obstacles and opposition along the way, and prepare yourself for it. It is worth it to live a life full of meaning. A fourth lesson we can learn comes from the Magi when they arrived to the stable. They fell down in worship of Jesus. And after worship, what did they do? They gave him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Gold is the gift for a king. Frankincense It's used in worship of God in his holy temple. And myrrh was used in burial. All of this symbolizing the great sacrifice this God-king would make for us. These were extremely rare gifts, and they were the best gifts that these men could offer. There's a great temptation for us to say, sure, Jesus is important to me. I love him. Yes, I'm a Catholic Christian. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. But then we are tempted to give only a little of ourselves, a little bit of our time, a little bit of our energy, saving the best for ourselves and giving God and others what is left over. So instead, when you arrive to Jesus, when you've come in that journey of faith and arrive to him, give him your best, the best that you've got to give. He will not disappoint you. Friends, we have to rid our minds and hearts of the idea of a rivalry with God in our person. The idea that making room for God is somehow a loss of personal freedom. We have to open our hearts. God is almighty love. He takes nothing away. He does not threaten. We think the other things because we want to preserve ourselves, right? We want to preserve doing what we want to do. And so we call things like the church has as rules because we don't want to follow those, rather than a way of life that looks different. We were in fact called the way in those early days of the church. We lived the way. It was a different way. And the wise men go a different way. God is, in fact, the only one who can give us the possibility of living life to the full, of experiencing joy, because he is the one who is the foundation of all things. He is, in fact, existence itself. Finally, we see the king's return by a different route, a different way, as I mentioned. The point is, a person never gives his or her whole heart to Christ and then remains unchanged. Anyone and everyone who makes Christ the center is changed forever. And he will say to you, you will hear the same words, come, follow me. The journey of the Magi is our journey too. So like them, number one, be attentive to the signs of God that are all around you. Number two, when you see the signs, move, get up, do something, act on it. Don't delay or become complacent. Number three, expect opposition and meet it with courage. Number four, give your absolute best to Christ, not the leftovers. And finally, number five, expect you will be wonderfully different from this encounter with Jesus. And like the Magi, you will never be able to go back the same way that you came. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us stand.